This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio at sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at sportstalknet. The Steve Callis Show on sportstalknetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Tuesday, January 24th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio at sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. We have a lot to do today. I'd like to start the show with a few minutes, additional minutes, on Joe Paterno. We talked about him at the end of the show yesterday. I think, there seems to be a split, not just in Pennsylvania, but throughout the country. And as we talked about yesterday, I think Mike Krzyzewski, the coach of Duke, said it best. You know, it's hard to believe that one mistake will erase the six decades of good that this man did. But I don't want to go into that debate. That's for another time. But today, out at Penn State, there will be a public viewing of his body today at 1 o'clock, tomorrow morning at 8. There will be a private funeral tomorrow at 2 in the afternoon. And then on Thursday, there will be a public memorial service at Penn State. And again, there is a memorial surrounding the statue. You know, there's a Joe Paterno statue there at Penn State. And I'll just talk about the other side briefly. So there are some who think this is wrong, this shouldn't happen. But I agree with Coach K in terms of what this guy did over 60 years, 46 as the head coach, 61 as the head coach and an assistant coach at Penn State. You know, the football stadium doesn't have Joe Paterno's name on it. The library has Joe Paterno's name on it. And say anything you want about him, but everybody says he had great concern over the years for his players, good and bad, good players and bad players. And now they're all coming back to give great testimonials in his honor. Matt Millen comes to mind of ESPN, who was a linebacker at Linebacker U, Penn State, talking about all the great things he did off the field that nobody ever knew about. So I think at least for these few days, it's a time to recognize not just the 409 wins, which we talked about, two national championships, five undefeated seasons. You think he'd like a playoff? He goes undefeated in three seasons and doesn't win the national championship. So I think you have to look at what the man did over 60 years, like Coach K said. And, of course, the truth as to whatever happened, and I do have an article up prior to his death, after he was allowed to speak to Sally Jenkins of the Washington Post. I have an article up at sportstalknetwork.com that goes into a few of those issues he discussed. But again, to me, that's for another day, at least another week. I do think no matter what his role was and whatever comes out after the fact, keep in mind now he's not here to defend himself, I do think he should be recognized for the much good that he did over 60 years. So it's the Joe Paterno Library, not the Joe Paterno Stadium. To me, that's meaningful. And again, success with honor, at least with respect to the football program, that's meaningful. I understand there are those who will say, well, it depends on what he did with respect to the whole Sandusky matter. And again, I don't necessarily disagree with that, but to me, that's for another day down the road. That's not for now when they're going to bury the man. There was a candlelight vigil Sunday night at Penn State, attended by students, former players, faculty members. Again, it's hard to even comprehend the effect he had on that area, the State College area. But Joe Paterno, one of the great college coaches, not college football coaches, one of the great college coaches of all time. Again, people were looking for someone who was at his level, and I go right to John Wooden, of course, who passed away last year at the age of 99. But Joe Paterno is in that rarefied air. If there's a Mount Rushmore of college coaches, he's on it. 409 wins, you know all the stats. But I think it was much more than that. He made Penn State, Penn State. And, you know, again, that's frankly part of the problem. He was the most powerful man there, no matter what anyone says. You know the story, they tried to fire him like 10 years ago, and he told them to take a walk. And there was nothing the president could do. So there has to be some recognition, at least at this time, when they're burying the man today, where, you know, a wife is burying a husband, and children are burying a father, and grandchildren are burying a grandfather. You got to take a look at this guy and what he did over a span of 61 years at Penn State, dying at the age of 85 this past Sunday. And I did see part of an interview with his son, Jay Paterno, who was the quarterback's coach at Penn State, who will no longer coach at Penn State. I did see an interview with him this morning, and the notion, as some players have said, some former players of Paterno's, that Paterno died of a broken heart, Jay Paterno just kind of brushed that off. He said, look, the guy was doing stuff. He wanted to coach, but when he couldn't do that, he was still doing other stuff. It did not drag him down. Now, you don't know unless you're in the guy's skin, but according to his son, at least, he was fighting the good fight. He was fighting a battle. He was not down in the dumps. He was not that kind of guy. And look, this is a tough guy from Brooklyn, from a generation we can't imagine. You know, again, you're born in the 1920s. You grow up in the Depression, and you get World War II. I mean, it's just stunning stuff that he went through, like everybody in that generation. So the judgments on Joe Paterno and what happened in the Sandusky affair should be left for another day. Of course, you know, you can ask for that all you want. There are still some people, I heard it yesterday in New York radio, still bad-mouthing Paterno. And again, we still don't know what happened, and we might find out a lot more in the coming weeks, months, and years, but that's not for today or yesterday, in my opinion, or Sunday, of course. Give the man some time to rest in peace for a little bit. Give his family some time. Obviously, they're going through incredible changes as well. But recognize the good that he did do. Could it all be wiped out from the bad he might not have done? You know the legal issues. He did what he was supposed to do under the law. But you know the moral issues as well, and obviously I think even he thought he came up short with the old, in hindsight, I wish I had done more. You know, everybody's leaving out in hindsight when they quote him, but I'm sure he did wish that he had done more. But so do a lot of kids wish he had done more, and that's just the way it goes, again, for another time. But the greatness of Joe Paterno as a football coach, as a builder of a football program and a school, frankly, around the football program, in my opinion. You know, they can put, we are still Penn State all they want, and that's fine. But Penn State is Penn State, and you can put that in capital letters because of Joe Paterno. And I don't think anybody would dispute that. Yes, an excellent academic institution, etc., but so much of the money that was poured into the school, including money from Joe Paterno. You know, you take a look at his house when you saw it over the last 2 months. You know, the guy lived in a modest house. He walked to work, you know. He was the everyman. And, yeah, some of his players had problems, but he was nothing in terms of that level compared to other schools that had lots of problems as well in terms of, you know, kids getting arrested, et cetera. So he did do, you know, a ton of academic All-Americans. A ton of graduating kids. The man coached, got to be at least 3,000 kids over 60 years. Maybe 4,000, maybe 5,000. The numbers are staggering when you try and understand what he did. But Joe Paterno, a great football coach, he turned Penn State into Penn State, whatever you think Penn State is. And I understand in the weeks and months to come, some people say it's bad what Penn State became. But as an academic institution, he brought it to new heights. I think it's wonderful that he had the library. He donated money to have the library named after him. He couldn't really care less about the football stadium being named after him. And I think, frankly, that's a good thing. So the gory details, I think, will come out. And some of them will be gory, I think, in the next weeks and months. But for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I would say the rest of this week, it would be classy. And I know that's a lot to ask, but it would be classy if the media would just lay off, if you don't have guys screaming and yelling, just for a little while. I'm not saying they're wrong, but I am saying the timing, you know, we should show a little respect for what this guy did And as Coach K said, outside of the mistake he made, we should look at the 6 decades of good he did, because he did 6 decades of good. So Joe Paterno again today at 1 o'clock, a public viewing. Tomorrow at 8 a.m., a public viewing. Tomorrow at 2 p.m., tomorrow afternoon at 2, private funeral for the family and close friends. And then Thursday, a public memorial. And you can bet that'll be well attended. Want to switch now to a few other things. We'll just go a little football today. Obviously, we have a lot of time to talk. But the Pro Bowl is this Sunday. I'm not a Pro Bowl guy at all, but some people are. I think it probably is a wise thing to do it this Sunday, as opposed to the week after the Super Bowl, where it's beyond anticlimactic. Not that this is climactic. It's not. But obviously, Eli Manning and Tom Brady won't be playing in the Pro Bowl. They do lose those players from the who play in the Super Bowl, obviously. But I think most of those guys would just as soon not go, especially the week after the Super Bowl. You know, you lose the Super Bowl, you don't want to go to the Pro Bowl. The next week you win the Super Bowl, you're going to Disney World. But in any event, Cam Newton has been named to replace Eli Manning. And, of course, Newton had an unbelievable rookie year. You know, it seems like a distant memory that a lot of people thought he couldn't be a quarterback in the NFL. And not only is he a quarterback, he's a very good quarterback from the get-go. They're not a very good team if they can get some weapons around him. He does have Steve Smith. But if they can get some weapons around Cam Newton, Carolina has a chance to do something special. But Cam Newton's going to the Pro Bowl, and I think that's a good thing. And Andy Dalton of the Bengals is replacing Tom Brady. And I think Dalton also surprised a lot of people. You know, you had the whole Carson Palmer thing. Would he actually not come to Cincinnati, even though he had a contract? Would the Bengals really not trade him? Well, eventually the Bengals got a pretty good deal from Oakland. And he took Oakland to within a game of the playoffs, but he really needed to win that one big game at the end, and he couldn't. As San Diego hammered them, you'll recall, in the last game of the year. Otherwise, they make it. And that led to a lot of things. The coach got fired. Presumably Palmer's coming back next year. He did sign an extension. I thought he played pretty well after he got his, you know, after he got his, I got off the couch and I tried to play a week later after that beating. I thought he played pretty well down the stretch. So, but we'll also have to see what's going to happen with Jason Campbell, because he's coming back. He had played fairly well before he got hurt. But Andy Dalton goes to the Pro Bowl. Cam Newton goes to the Pro Bowl. Wes Welker obviously is not going to the Pro Bowl. The Chargers wide receiver Vincent Jackson was named to replace him. Ray Rice has decided not to go to the Pro Bowl, even though they lost, even though the Ravens lost the other day. Ryan Matthews of the Chargers is going to take his place. And one other replacement, Jason Pierre-Paul, who certainly deserved to go to the Pro Bowl, and now, of course, is going to the Super Bowl. He'll be replaced by Julius Peppers, who, of course, is a Pro Bowl player virtually every year. I'm surprised. I thought he played pretty well this year, but I'm surprised he didn't make it originally, but he's going now. The one Pro Bowl snub we did talk about, and again, I don't get into that too much, but the one Pro Bowl snub for sure was Victor Cruz, but now he's laughing all the way to the Super Bowl. Victor Cruz is a star, and people are finding that out in these playoffs, but he's been a star the second half of the year for a very valuable Giants. Again, with Knicks, Cruz, and Manningham, they have an excellent group of wide receivers. And while people point to Eli for the Giants' success, and I don't necessarily disagree with that, for the Giants getting to the Super Bowl success, it's all about them getting healthy. Jacobs and Bradshaw in the backfield. And, of course, most important, I think, the defensive line. O.C. Umanura came back. Justin Tuck got healthy. He tried to play through injury and was not very good. They're back. Kiwanuka came back. So the Giants, when they're healthy, especially in the defensive front line, they put that pass rush on, the cornerbacks and the safeties are better. You know the drill. You know how that works. A couple of other things briefly in football. I did see another interview with Billy Cundiff, who missed the field goal, and you got to, you know, the guy's a classy guy. You got to give him credit. The next day, he's still answering questions. You know, he hooked the field goal. I don't think it's a chip shot over 30 yards myself. Everybody's calling that a chip shot. But with the pressure of a game of that magnitude and a field goal in the 30s, I think that is Not a chip shot, not an easy field goal. But Cundiff made no excuses, give him credit. And he stood there and took it and said, you know, we'll see how I bounce back. It's not really about how you mess up, it's how you bounce back. And I give him a lot of credit for saying that. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Off the Bench with Josh Scarr and Scotty Bickford, Mondays at 4 p.m. on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 120,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy and major car companies filing for bankruptcy, Cover America Auto Care has announced revolutionary, inexpensive mechanical breakdown coverage that is now available to the general public to save consumers thousands on auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for drivers to call who own a vehicle that is less than 10 years old for a free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify. The number is 800-219-6876. Drivers who are covered with this auto protection will not have to pay for a covered repair again. This is the auto coverage now sweeping across America at a fraction of what dealerships charge and is now available to the public by calling today. The number to call is 800-219-6876. 800-219-6876. That's 800-219-6876.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right?
Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Get your NFL news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bella Wood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR HDR upgrade and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. I also wanted to mention Kyle Williams of the 49ers. He was interviewed again yesterday as well. And, you know, I don't think he was as good as Billy Cundiff was, but, you know, he essentially said, now, look, his father is Ken Williams, the general manager of the Chicago White Sox, and Ken Williams said that his son was receiving death threats on Twitter. So, of course, that's beyond the pale. I mean, that's absurd. But Kyle Williams, who did, you know, take some responsibility after the game on Sunday, yesterday said, I got good feedback from my family and teammates. They're all that count. I don't really look at Twitter. You know, Jim Harbaugh said this is a class team, no finger pointing. One guy doesn't win it, one guy doesn't lose it. But Kyle Williams also, I thought, was a classy guy. I mean, I think these are two guys you can point to if you've got kids and want to show them how to deal with things when you don't make a play that you should make or hope to make, or certainly if you do make a bad play that obviously you don't want to make. I think these are two guys, Billy Cundiff of the Ravens and Kyle Williams of the 49ers, you can look to the way they handled it. Now, you're always going to have whack job fans, especially nowadays. The notion that you would send a death threat to a guy because he fumbled or had a punt hit him in the knee, I mean, that's absurd. I don't want to hear what you're hearing a lot, which is, oh, they're just playing a kid's game. That's a load of garbage. The NFL is a multi-billion dollar business. So, yes, the game of football is a game that is played by kids and enjoyed by kids, but I would never say it's a kid's game at the NFL level. That's absurd. But Billy Cundiff and Kyle Williams, I think both should be commended the way they handled, frankly, things when things broke bad. You know, of course, it's not how you are when things go good. Anybody can be good when things go good. It's how you handle it when things go bad. And I think both of these guys are an example to kids more than anyone as to how you deal with these things. Kyle Williams is going to be an excellent player in the NFL. Billy Cundiff is an excellent kicker. So I did want to mention that because they were both interviewed again yesterday, and they didn't hide. Remember how most of these people hide sometimes when this happens. Give them a lot of credit. They didn't hide, neither one of them. They took the questions. They gave the answers. You know, and I think after yesterday's interview, after today, all of that will be forgotten until next season. They'll always have to live with it, and it'll be brought up at times. But, again, I think Cundiff is an excellent kicker, and I think Kyle Williams is going to be a big-time player in the NFL. Just a few brief notes on the Patriots and the Giants. Gronkowski has that injured left ankle, but, of course, he's going to play in the Super Bowl. He's a tough guy. He came back in the game. He did have a walking boot after the game. But he came back in the game Sunday against the Ravens, probably working on adrenaline. But he's going to play. I'm starting to lean towards, I'm a Giants guy, but I'm starting to lean towards giving the Patriots the edge because Brady was terrible. He was terrible against the Ravens. And they still won. So people can say, oh, the Ravens should have won that game, and they dominated, and they had that game in their hands, and they did. They had it in Lee Evans' hands in the end zone when he got stripped. But for Tom Brady to play that poorly, if he had played well, they would have scored 40 points. And when you're hearing all about how bad, supposedly, the Patriots were, don't forget that play in the first half where Gronkowski, he made that catch on the sideline, and it was called out of bounds, and for some reason the Patriots didn't challenge it. That was a good catch. They could have gone down and gotten a touchdown instead of a field goal. Don't forget that. You know, again, none of that matters. Patriots won, Ravens lost. But I think Brady's going to be better in the Super Bowl. Now, you probably know Terry Bradshaw, Joe Montana, the only two guys to win four Super Bowls. Tom Brady and John Elway, the only two quarterbacks to go to five. Brady's 3-1. Elway, of course, was 2-3. He was 0-3. And I won't say much maligned, but it really was, when are you going to get your Super Bowl? And, of course, eventually he got two back-to-back and retired. But there's a lot of history here. Just on the Giants side, for Coughlin to get two Super Bowls and Eli Manning to win two Super Bowls, one more than his brother. And, you know, they're playing that tape all over New York. I don't know if they're doing it in the rest of the country, but they're playing that tape. When Michael Kay of ESPN Radio in New York asked him, do you consider yourself an elite quarterback? And he says, I do. And again, as we talked about the other day, well, what's he going to say? I'm not? I stink? I'm 12? What are you going to do? But guess what? He played like an elite quarterback this year. So you have to give Eli Manning a ton of credit. Now he's got weapons. He's got three very good wide receivers. His tight end, Jake Ballard, is better than everybody thought. But they do have the running backs back and healthy. And no, the Giants don't have a great running game, but they have a good running game when Bradshaw and Jacobs are healthy. And, of course, still the most important thing to me, that defensive line. You know, Ernie Accorsi from years ago, the GM, just talked about having as many pass rushers as you can get, and that's what he did. And look at these guys. Going back to Strahan when they beat the undefeated Patriots a few years ago. But even now today, Tuck, Umanura, there's Jason Pierre-Paul, and Reese gets credit for that, the GM now. These guys are monster pass rushers. And that's what the Giants all are going to hope on. Now Brady gets the ball out quick. I'm starting to lean towards the Pats only because everything pointed to the Pats 4 years ago and the Giants won. You can make a case that almost everything is pointing to the Giants this year. But again, I look at the fact that Brady played poorly and they beat the Ravens. And I thought Flacco played pretty well. Again, there's a big up-and-down debate. Is Flacco good? Is Flacco not? Was he really jittery the week before? And I'll side with Phil Simms. And Flacco was really indignant after the loss, saying, I play the same. Just look at the tape. I play the same. I played the same last week as I played this week. If you think I played well this week, I played well last week. And that's what Phil Simms said. And Flacco had played well the week before, but he was under pressure. He was on his back, five sacks, always running. So I think that's something to look at as well. The fact that the Patriots are in the Super Bowl, yes, with a little luck, Cundiff missed a 31-32-yarder. But they're there, and their best player did not play well. And as for the Giants, it was really interesting. Tom Coughlin said, obviously the Giants beat the Patriots this year in Week 9. The Patriots have not lost since then, by the way, and that was up in New England. But Coughlin said he's going to take a look at the tape of the Giants' win over the Patriots, but he's more interested to watch all the recent wins that the Patriots have had. Obviously, they're a different team now than they were back then, as are the Giants. The Giants are much healthier now than they were back then, and they still beat the Patriots in Foxborough, a very difficult thing to do. So we'll keep an eye on that during the week. We'll talk more about it next week, of course. I did want to spend a couple minutes now at 11 o'clock Eastern. They had the press conference at Yankee Stadium to announce the retirement of Jorge Posada. And Posada, a great Yankee, he'll have his number retired in Yankee land. And I don't mean this to be disparaging. Every really good player gets his number retired, it seems, nowadays in Yankee land. If you go there to that Monument Park, I hate to say it, they're going to run out of numbers someday. To me, I think it still should be Ruth, Gehrig, Mantle, DiMaggio. That's a foursome to themselves. And after that, that next level is more like a Yogi Berra, a Whitey Ford. Maybe you throw Reggie Jackson in there, even though he's only 5 years there. You know, to me, that's where a Jeter would go. I don't think anyone can touch those top four. But at Yankee Stadium, you go out there, my goodness. There's got to be 20 numbers retired. The Yankees are going to run out of numbers. I think they're going to run out of single-digit numbers. But I think Posada's number will be there. Of course, Jeter, Rivera, maybe Andy Pettit. I think Joe Torre's number should be. I know they left on bad terms. But Torre's number should be. But today, Jorge Posada, thankfully, I'm a Yankee guy, thankfully. What's the point of him going somewhere else to play 17 seasons as a Yankee? Now, he did show some pop lefty and got some big hits for him later in the year after being terrible early on, having that embarrassing. They dropped him to ninth in the lineup, and he said, I'm not going to do it scenario. He's a very proud man. But Posada, who to me is a borderline Hall of Famer, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but a borderline Hall of Famer. And you might not even know the numbers. 17 seasons, but the first three, 95, 96, 97, he hardly played. So when you look at his 275 home runs, more like 14 seasons, you know, he averaged about 20 a year. He had a string there from 2000 through 2007, eight seasons, where he hit 20 or more home runs every year. 1 year he had 19 in 2005. So this guy was a good hitting catcher, decent defensive. He was not good at the end, but decent defensively. Yes, he has five rings, but if you really follow the Yankees, you know he didn't even play in the 96 playoffs. He only played in eight games during the regular season. Yes, he gets a ring. But he really was a key component of four Yankee championship teams, 98, 99, 2000, and, of course, 2009. So I think he did the right thing. He's one of those guys now who will always be remembered as a Yankee. He didn't wind up putting on a, I don't know, Florida Marlins jersey or something. He did say in the press conference, I watched some of it, not all of it, he did say that he had calls from other teams. The talk in New York now is if they knew they were trading Jesus Montero, would they be interested in bringing him back? But they're not going to bring Jorge Posada back to catch. And frankly, they don't need another DH. And frankly, he'd only be a left-handed DH. So I think it was the right move for Posada. He does have the Jorge Posada Foundation. I think he'll do a lot of good work. I think he's a very passionate, committed guy, has a wonderful family, did the right thing. Yes, his temper got the best of him at times. But I think for Posada to do this and ride off into the sunset as a Yankee with five rings. And again, some people think he is a Hall of Famer, lifetime 273 hitter in the modern game, and I agree with this. On-base percentage 374, that's plus 101, that's very good. If you can go plus 100 from your batting average to your OBP, that's excellent. And interesting, his numbers are 273 batting average, 374 on-base percentage, 474 slugging percentage. Those are pretty good numbers, 275 lifetime homers, 900 runs scored. 1,065 RBIs. Again, I think Jorge Posada was an excellent Yankee, and he was a key cog. He did handle the pitching staff all those years. A lot of people think there was friction between him and manager Joe Girardi. Girardi denies it. I think clearly there was, because Girardi back in the 95-96 time frame was the catcher. Posada was coming in clearly to take over. He essentially took over in 98. Started playing 111, 112 games, 98, 99, then became pretty much the sole catcher in 2000. So I think there was some friction, but I think Joe Girardi, frankly, went out of his way. It was a bad move to do the put him ninth in the lineup and apparently didn't tell him. And I don't think necessarily that was the wrong move because Posada had just fallen off a cliff this year, righty. I think he was 0 for his first 27. And the Yankees were still trotting him out there. I think Girardi tried to handle it. It's very tough to coach guys you played with. It's very tough to take aging stars. And I'd say Posada was a borderline star. Again, never the best player on his team. If you're on a team with Jeter and all, you know, and eventually A-Rod and all these other stars, you know, you're not going to be the best player on the team, but he was a very good catcher. He was at one time a good defensive catcher, no matter what you hear. Bad at the end, yes. An excellent offensive catcher, especially in the world of catchers today. Again, if you can go 2080, 2090, 2003, he went 30-101 RBIs and a switch hitter. Those are excellent numbers. So, yeah, he'll get some Hall of Fame support. I watched him all these years. I think he's an excellent player. And in my opinion, excellent players don't become Hall of Famers. But you never know what's going to happen. But Jorge Posada retires today as a New York Yankee, 17 seasons. I assume they'll have a day for him at some point. I didn't hear it announced. I know they'll at least put his number out there in Monument Park. I don't think he'll be a Hall of Famer, but obviously that remains to be seen. Nothing for the next 5 years on that front. But Jorge Posada officially retires as a member of the New York Yankees today. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
SportsTalkNetwork.com is now mobile. Watch or listen to your favorite Sports Talk Network program live or on demand with the new STN web app. The STN web app works on all smartphones, including iPhones, Android, and BlackBerry. Go to m.sportstalknetwork.com on your phone's web browser and bookmark the app. No downloads and no fees. Fresh audio, video shows, sports news, and more content delivered to your phone whenever you want. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. And now on your phone. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard-to-find parts. Visit us today at SupplyLineElectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. Welcome back to the Steve Gallis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Gallis Show. We'll get to the NBA and the NHL in a minute. Just a few miscellaneous things, a couple of baseball notes. Cody Ross, who was the NLCS MVP a couple of years ago for the Giants, he signed with the Boston Red Sox. I think he can be helped with that Fenway Park left field wall. He's a pretty good player. Omar Vizquel, the ageless wonder, signs a minor league deal with Toronto at the age of 45. Talk about interesting Hall of Fame guys. Vizquel is kind of the old-time shortstop, slight shortstop, unbelievable glove, all-time glove. Will a guy like that make the Hall of Fame? But he's, in my mind, has a good chance to make Toronto, maybe not as a starter, but certainly a utility infielder. I'm sure he can play other positions besides shortstop. And Mark Cuban has made a bid to buy the Los Angeles Dodgers. There are 10 bids overall. They want the sale to close by April 30th. Of course, the Dodgers in bankruptcy with the whole Frank McCourt mess. The expected price is going to be in the $1.5 billion range. And you know Mark Cuban can afford that. One football note, Chip Kelly, the coach at Oregon, who's done a heck of a job, 3 years, three BCS bowl games, 34-6 in 3 years, has decided to stay in Oregon and not go down to Tampa Bay. They were actually in negotiations over the weekend for him to become the coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but he's decided to stay in Oregon. Quickly on the Australian Open now, they're getting down, you know, if you have... Well, if you really love tennis, obviously you've been watching all along, but if you have interest in the finals of the majors, they're getting down to the final four. I think the rest of the final four will be today. But at the Australian Open, number three, Roger Federer, defeated number 11, Juan Martín Del Potro in straight sets. So Federer is in the semifinals. He's now made the semifinals in 30 Grand Slam events, which is pretty unbelievable. Only Jimmy Connors with 31 has been to more. On the women's side, it was number one Caroline Wozniacki against number 11 Kim Clijsters, but Clijsters has been hurt a little in the last year, so I think her ranking was a little low. She's also the defending champ at the Australian Open, and she eliminates number one Wozniacki 6-3, 7-6 straight sets. She will now play Victoria Azarenka in the semifinals. Azarenka won her match in three sets over Aggie Radwanska. 6-7, 6-love, 6-2. So it'll be Azarenka and Clijsters in one semi, and the rest will be determined today. A couple of college basketball, top 10 college basketball games quickly. Syracuse coming off their first loss of the year at Cincinnati. Syracuse down early, but they come back to beat Cincinnati. Syracuse 60. Cincinnati 53. Syracuse is playing without Thad Mello. The rumors are academic ineligibility, but nobody has said that officially. Chris Joseph with 17 for Syracuse. Scoop Jardine with 13. Kashmir Wright had 17 for Cincinnati. Now Jim Boeheim with that win moves ahead of Adolph Rupp into fourth all-time for college wins. Division I wins. Of course, Coach K is first. Knight is second. Dean Smith with 879 is third. Boeheim now with 877 is fourth, so he will pass Smith this year. And, of course, he just passed Adolph Rupp of Kentucky, who had 876 wins. One other top ten game, Kansas beats Texas A&M in Kansas. Kansas 64, Texas A&M 54. Thomas Robinson, 18 points. Tayshaun Taylor, 17. Kansas only shoots 4 for 20 from 3, but still wins 64-54. Elston Turner had 24 for Texas A&M. Want to move now to the NBA. A few interesting games last night in the NBA. The most bizarre to me was the Magic go up to Boston to play the Celtics. The Celtics don't have Rondo. The Celtics don't have Ray Allen. Yet the Magic get 36 points in the first half and only get 18 in the second half, if you can imagine. Celtics 87, Magic 56. Now, Howard has 18 and 14 rebounds, but you got to think he's feeling like he's out there all alone. I mean, nobody else scored double figures for the Orlando Magic. In fact, Turkoglu, who they're talking about in some kind of package with Howard because they want to dump his salary if they had to trade Howard. Turkoglu was the second high scorer with 7 points. So obviously they're going to have to get a lot more from Jameer Nelson and Richardson. And Anderson, who's up and down, he can make threes. But yesterday he was 0 for 8 with no points. So clearly Orlando's not going to be able to hold on to Dwight Howard. They're probably going to have to package a deal for him. The question is, will they keep him to the trade deadline or not? Now, the Magic are still 11-5, so maybe you can just say they laid an egg. But to lose to Boston without Rondo, without Allen, without their starting backcourt by 31 and score 56 points, 18 in the second half. I mean, Stan Van Gundy, who's always a good quote after the game, said, "This is the first time I can literally say that nobody on my team played well." Now, that might be a bit of a knock on Howard, but he only shot 4 for 15. So he had 18 points, 14 rebounds, but he certainly didn't play well for Dwight Howard. Celtics 87, they improved to 7-9. Magic 56. You can't like the Celtics' chances because they're playing this compacted season and they always have somebody hurt. Pierce missed the beginning of the year, now no Rondo, no Allen. Garnett 14 points, 10 rebounds, but I don't think he's the dominant performer he was a few years ago. But they do get a nice win over the Magic, and the Magic have to go home wondering how we're going to put points in the basket. Another interesting game, not because of the teams, but the way the game finished. San Antonio goes down to New Orleans to play the Hornets, a back-and-forth game. But Duncan gets the ball and makes a running one-hander with 1.4 seconds left to give the Spurs the victory. Spurs 104, Hornets 102. Of course, the Spurs playing without Ginobili. The Hornets, you know, I got to tell you, when they had that deal where the Hornets could have gotten Gasol and Lamar Odom and I think a draft pick for Chris Paul, and the NBA rejected it, well, how do you like the Hornets now? They're 3-14. I mean, they've lost 8 in a row. Hard to believe. Now, maybe there's something for the future. Maybe these draft picks they got will help them in the future, but they're terrible this year. But Tim Duncan, again, no Ginobili. Tim Duncan wins the game with a running one-hander, 1.4 seconds left, has 28 points, a season high, 7 rebounds. Parker, again, they're going with the big two now. Parker had 17 assists, 20 points, 17 assists, and this is what those guys are going to have to do. Jefferson, 14 points. Neal off the bench with 10 points. Spurs are a pretty good team. I don't think they can win an NBA title, but they're doing all this without Ginobili. They're 11-7. Jack had 26 points and 9 assists for New Orleans. He's a good player. And Ariza had 18 points, but they're not a very good team. Landry off the bench with 18 points and 8 rebounds, but the Hornets at 3-14 are really having some issues. The Nets had to go out to play the Bulls in Chicago. Obviously, you wouldn't expect a whole lot for the Nets going out there, and that's the way it shook out. As the Bulls beat the Nets 110-95, the Bulls have the best record in basketball in the NBA, 16-3. Rose, 22 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds. Rip Hamilton has an excellent game, you know, playing next to Rose. He's going to get a lot of opportunities, 22 points, 10 assists, 10 for 16 from the field. Both of them 2 for 5 from 3. Noah, 16 points, 10 rebounds. Boozer, 14. Brewer, 11. I mean, the Bulls, of course, have a very good team. The question for the Bulls is going to be what it was last year. In the playoffs, in a big spot, who's going to help Derrick Rose put the ball in the basket? And that's still a question. It might be Rip Hamilton. I don't think it's Noah. I guess it could be Boozer. Kyle Korver has kind of backed off, 1 for 4, 3 points yesterday. Korver, of course, a great shooter. But the Bulls bury the Nets, 110-95. Jordan Farmar with 22 off the bench for the Nets. The Nets are 5-13. Obviously, Brook Lopez out for the season. Don't know if they're going to be able to bring in Dwight Howard or not. Remains to be seen. You know, and that's the problem in New Jersey. Darren Williams, 16 points, 10 assists, but if Howard's not coming, he's not staying. And I think they actually said that's what he was thinking last week. How could he not be thinking that? That's why he wouldn't sign a long-term deal. The day Dwight Howard shows up in Netsville to go to Brooklyn next year is the day Darren Williams signs a long-term contract. I mean, that's pretty simple. So we'll follow the Nets saga, but it's not going to be about them on the court, frankly. It's going to be about them off the court. Who can they get? A few other games to look at. The Mavericks beat the Suns in Dallas, 93-87. Now, Dirk Nowitzki, it's a good one for the Mavericks because no Dirk Nowitzki. Phoenix, not very good, frankly. They do have Marcin Gortat, who's a good big man, 19 points, 17 rebounds. Of course, they have Steve Nash, but Nash only 8 points, 2 for 9 from the field, 12 assists. He's Steve Nash. But they don't have a whole lot of depth in Phoenix. The Mavericks win without Dirk Nowitzki. Sean Marion, season high, 29 points. Give him a lot of credit. So, the Mavericks, we've talked about them. They're 11-7, but I don't think they're a championship team no matter how well they play, even when Dirk comes back. Because, again, they lost Chandler. I thought Chandler was the difference. Yes, J.J. Barea, we've talked about. But Chandler was the difference because they never had that defensive presence like him. And I really thought that was the difference. One other interesting game, the Grizzlies come back from 20 down. And they're doing all this without Zach Randolph, by the way. They beat the Warriors 91-90. Now, Mark Jackson at Golden State, they've been in some close games, but they've lost most of them. Golden State 5-11. Monte Ellis, an excellent scorer, scores 20. Curry, 18 points. Both of them have 5 assists. David Lee, 13 points and 12 rebounds. They've got a nice team, but I still think it's tougher in the West. Memphis without Randolph. Rudy Gay, 23 points, 9 rebounds. Marc Gasol, who might be better than Pau Gasol now, 15 points, 11 rebounounds. Give them a lot of credit. They're 10-6 without Zach Randolph. So the Grizzlies look like they're going to be a pretty good team this year as well, and obviously they'll be better when Randolph comes back. Got an email here from Raul Custodio in Dallas, Texas. Steve, Joe Paterno was a wonderful person who touched so many lives in so many different ways. He ran a clean program and not once ever was caught in scandal on or off the field until 4 months ago. Paterno didn't protect children, period, end of discussion. He knew something was wrong and made the choice, that's in caps in the email, to only go so far with what he knew. At best, he did the absolute minimum required. This one act will forever stain all that was good about Joe Pa. I would say this in closing. I certainly don't want fans, media, to trample all over his grave, but some perspective needs to be used when examining Paterno and his legacy, and he shouldn't be looked at as a saint. He made one mistake, but it was massive and unforgivable, no matter what good he has done. Well, again, an interesting email. I do not disagree with what Raul Custodio is saying, but I do think now is not the time to jump on all of that. I don't think it should be swept under the rug, and I don't think it will be. But again, even when he says in the email at the end, I certainly don't want fans, media to trample all over his grave, but some perspective needs to be used, and I totally, when examining Paterno and his legacy, and I totally agree with that. But this is just me talking now for this week. Sunday he dies, Monday, Tuesday, funeral service tomorrow. I think you got to step back from that. Nothing he says in that email is wrong. I just prefer to take a look at it maybe next month. Next week or next month. Because, again, a lot more facts have to come out under the old what did he know and when did he know it. I just want to talk about one other basketball game, then we'll get to the NHL. Minnesota gets buried by Houston. The Rockets with 7 wins in a row now. Houston 107 at Minnesota 92. Kevin Love, who else? 39 points, 12 rebounds for the Timberwolves. But Kyle Lowry is emerging as a young star for Houston. They win their 7th in a row. Lowry, 16 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, a triple-double. Kevin Martin, I've told you from the get-go, this guy is a star that nobody knows about. 31 points for Kevin Martin. So Houston on a roll. Again, frankly, Scola's good. Kevin Martin's really good. Lowry's becoming really good. They've got a decent team down there, and I think they'll be heard from. And I think they'll be heard from this season. Just a couple other scores quickly. Oklahoma City beats Detroit 99-79. Russell Westbrook, 24 points. And Harden, 24 points. Atlanta, 97. Milwaukee, 92. Joe Johnson with 28. Brandon Jennings, 21 and 11 assists for Milwaukee. Quickly to the NHL now. Alex Ovechkin suspended 3 games. If you saw the replay, and I did not see this when it happened, but I did see the replay, he took a flying leap at Zbigniew Michalek of the Penguins. Interestingly, no penalty was called, even though he left his feet. But he does get a 3-game suspension, and he'll lose $155,000 in pay. Ovechkin gone for 3 games. Yesterday, a few interesting games. Detroit beat St. Louis in Detroit. Detroit, 17 home wins in a row. They beat the Blues 3-1. Jimmy Howard already has 30 wins, a very good goalie. Pavel Datsyuk with his 14th goal of the year. The Maple Leafs shut out the Islanders 3-0. Jonas Gustafsson gets the shutout. Phil Kessel scores his 26th of the year. That was the highlight of that game. Toronto 3, the Islanders nothing. I should also mention for the Red Wings, in that Red Wing victory, Johan Franzen scored his 19th, and Nicholas Cronwell scored his 11th, as well as Datsyuk with his goal. Edmonton beat San Jose 2-1 in the shootout. In the shootout, Taylor Hall got what proved to be the winning goal for Edmonton. Edmonton 2, San Jose 1. Of course, San Jose gets a point for the tie in regulation. And the Kings beat Ottawa 4-1. Willie Mitchell scores his 3rd, Kyle Clifford scores his 3rd, Jack Johnson scores his 8th, and Trevor Lewis scores his 2nd for the Kings. Daniel Alfredson, another superstar, scores his 16th for Ottawa. Kings 4, Ottawa 1 in the NHL. Quickly on TV tonight, NBA basketball on the NBA channel, Cavaliers at Heat, 7:30 Eastern, your chance to see Kyrie Irving if you want. Against Miami. Grizzlies at the Trailblazers follows thereafter, both on NBA TV. Knicks at Bobcats, 7 Eastern if you get MSG. Knicks in an unbelievable tailspin. I mean, they're lucky the Giants are in the Super Bowl because they would be slaughtered this week, but they're not because everyone's talking about the Giants in New York. Hockey on the NBC Sports Channel, which used to be Versus the Wild at the Avalanche, 9 o'clock Eastern. If you get MSG, and again, I'm told it's all over the country now, all 7 o'clock Eastern games, Winnipeg at the Rangers at the Garden, Toronto at the Islanders out at the Nassau Coliseum, Sabres at the Devils out in New Jersey. Again, to me, a big mistake to schedule all 3 New York teams home at the same time. Just, it makes no sense to me, but whatever. Those 3 games all on the MSG group of stations. College basketball tonight, Michigan at Purdue, 7 Eastern on ESPN. Kentucky at Georgia to follow, 9 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. And if you're into the Australian Open now that they're getting to the Final Four, if you're into it, you've already been watching, but if you want to look at the semis and the finals, the Australian Open tonight, 9 o'clock on ESPN2, and early Wednesday, 3:30 a.m., I assume that's live, ESPN2, will have matches from the Australian Open. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.